From Quality Radio Productions, it's another edition of the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden age. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open the hour with an episode of Suspense, one of the longest-running dramatic series of radio's golden age. It debuted on CBS on June 17, 1942, and it was on CBS Radio for its entire run, the final episode being on September 30th of 1962, making for a total of 945 episodes. This broadcast is program number 700 in the series. It originally aired on May 26th of 1957 on CBS. We don't have the original network broadcast, but we have an Armed Forces Radio rebroadcast of this episode, complete with the rather interesting PSAs, or public service announcements, that AFRS was known for back in the 50s. It stars John McIntyre and also includes, among others, Jeanette Nolan and Dawes Butler. It's an episode about the Stanley Steamer. No, not the carpet cleaner, but a very special kind of automobile. Listen now as we bring you episode 700 of Suspense on the Upstate Radio Theater.
Suspense. And the producer of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, the master of mystery and adventure, William N. Robeson.
Did you know that the Stanley Steamer is the fastest automobile ever made? It is, theoretically at least. Nobody ever determined its top speed because it had a tendency to blow up first. All of which is by way of background for the upcoming story of Suspense. Listen. Listen then, as Mr. John McIntyre stars in The Big Day, which begins 1 minute from now.
I have never read a collection of American folklore which had a section devoted solely to the downtrodden commuter, but there should be. There are legends galore about the miseries of these poor folk. For example, there was this train in Idaho that was a mite slow. Once an impatient passenger asked the conductor why the train had stopped.
"There's a cow on the track," he said. "We have to chase her away."
A little later, when the train stopped again, the passenger roared,
"Now what's wrong?"
"Oh," said the conductor serenely, "we just caught up with that cow again."
Folklore belongs to every nation's legendary past, and I guess we Americans have our share of some good ones. Like the one about... but we'll have to save that one for the next time we travel your way. See you then.
And now, Mr. John McIntyre in The Big Day. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
What's it say on the gauge, Albert?
Looks like about 4 pounds, Sam, maybe 4.5.
Not enough. She won't run on 4.5 pounds of steam pressure, that's for sure.
Can't see what difference it would make if she did run, Sam. You wouldn't take her anywhere. Just sit here in the garage like you've been doing every day since I can remember and steam her up and not go anywhere. Now, how come you just steam her up and don't go anywhere in her, Sam?
Because the right time hasn't come along yet. That's why, Albert.
Now, you put new wheels on her and new racing tires. And you made me paint that crazy number 61 on the side, but you never take her out.
Albert, I'm getting tired of you sitting there asking me why I never do this and why I never do that. Now, I'm going to tell you once more what I've been telling you over and over. I put the new wheels and tires on her because I'll need them when the right time gets here. And it's coming, Albert. It's coming sooner than you think.
You're going to ride her up to heaven on Judgment Day, Sam? You're going to steam her up and drive your bright red Stanley up into the sky? Is that what you're going to do, Sam?
That's very funny, Albert. Very funny. You know, I'm not going to drive her up to heaven on Judgment Day. I'm going to drive her where she belongs, out in the open. Out on the road where she can get up a full head of steam and show everybody what she can really do.
Going to show up all them modern cars, eh, Sam?
Albert, I know I'm wasting my time talking to you, just like I waste my time talking to that son of mine. But 50 years ago, in 1907, a Stanley Steamer was wrecked going 190 miles an hour.
Oh, now, come off it, Sam.
It's in the book, 190 miles an hour, and she would have done better if she hadn't come apart.
I'll bet the fellow that was driving her came apart, too.
Yeah, it wasn't the car's fault. The fellow that was driving her just didn't know how to handle steam.
But you do.
I do. When the day gets here, I'll show you. You and Ma and that son of mine and everyone else who think gasoline is the only kind of fuel for a car. The only reason the steamer isn't on the streets now is because the big oil companies bought them out to keep the steamer off the streets. But it'll be different when I take this one out.
Oh, sure.
And the time is sooner than you think, Elbert. A lot sooner than you think. Now get up there and pump, Elbert. Let's get a real head of steam on her and see what she sounds like.
In just a moment, it'll be time for the 5:30 news. But first, here's a word from our sponsor. Friends, how long has it been since you felt good?
Junior!
Really good, I
Junior?
Mean.
Yes, Mom?
Where's Pop? The news is coming on. He wants to hear the qualifying times from the racetrack.
I'll call him. I think he and Mr. Fellows are out in the garage.
Well, tell him the news is on. He'll be mad if he misses it.
There he is, Mom, coming in the back door.
News on yet?
Yeah, I was just going to call you.
Did they get to the speed trials at Indianapolis yet?
No, they haven't finished the important news yet.
Important? What's more important, I'd like to know, than the names and times of the drivers who qualified for the Indianapolis 500 this week?
Well, why in the world are you so interested in the races this year, Sam?
I've always been interested in the Memorial Day race, and you know it.
But why the interest in the times and what kind of cars they're driving and all that? You always listen to the race on race day, but... Well, this year you act like you're driving in it yourself.
Huh. In a steamer, maybe.
Huh. And what's so funny about that? She could take any one of those gasoline engine cars, make them look like they were standing still.
Aw, come on, Pop. That Stanley of yours was made in 1917. Just because you put a lot of new stuff on her, like racing tires and modern wheels, well, putting her on a track with a modern race car would be like putting a workhorse against Iron Liege at the Derby.
Son... Let me ask you something.
Sure.
How old are you?
17.
And how long have you been driving a car?
3 years.
Legally?
Almost a year.
All right. Now, I've been driving cars almost as long as they've had them, and I happen to know a little more about the Stanley Steamer than you do.
And I know a little more about gas engines than you do.
Son, don't you talk back to your father.
Well, I'm not talking back to him, Mom. I just said that...
Your mom heard what you said, son, and I can tell you this. If I could get that steamer of mine out where it could get a good start, I could whip any one of those fancy streamline jobs they got back at Indianapolis.
Oh, boy.
Sam.
I could whip any one of them, and I could make them eat my steam.
Sam, sometimes I wonder where your mind is.
Yeah.
Now, stop arguing about something that's impossible, and listen to the news while I get dinner on.
It's not impossible, and one of these days I'll show you it's not impossible.
Big deal.
Maybe that day is sooner than you think. What do you say to that?
Well, I say you either sit down and listen to the news or go in and clean up for supper. That's what I say.
And I say the Stanley Steamer's the fastest thing on wheels. That's what I say.
Anybody want to know what I say?
No.
That's what I thought you'd say.
Bring the extension cord around the front of her, Elbert. Hang it over on the nail.
I'm trying to get it over the hood, Sam.
But don't drag it across her. You want to scratch up the paint?
I don't want to do anything but go home, Sam. Millie's going to give me a bad time if I don't get home early.
She thinks you're down at the church again tonight?
Well, I told her I was painting the white lines on the basketball court. Trouble is, I told her I was doing that last night, too.
Well, tell her it's a big court.
Mm-hmm.
Hold that light over here so as we can get a look at these maps.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you sure got enough of them.
Yeah, and got them down at the auto club. Real nice about giving them to me, too. Didn't even ask me what I wanted them for.
Well, what do you want them for, Sam?
What do I want them for? I want them to lay out a course.
A course of what?
Albert, when you lay out a course, it isn't a course of something. It's a course to somewhere.
Oh, where?
Well, that's what we're going to figure out tonight. Hold the light over this way a bit. Let's take a look at this map here. California, San Diego to San Francisco. That's the one we want.
Well, this is Los Angeles, Sam.
I know. Let's see. Highway 101 runs from here to San Diego. Too many little towns. Not far enough, anyway.
Millie has an aunt lives down in San Diego.
Highway 99. If you went straight up 99 towards Sacramento, you'd bypass Saugus, Newhall... And you don't hit anything really big until Bakersfield.
I had a friend once lived in Bakersfield.
And out of Bakersfield, there's Wasco, Delano, Tulare, Fresno. And the road runs straight and level. Hand me that ruler there, will you, Elmer?
Yeah. Here it is.
Yeah. Now, let's see. Scale says 21 miles to the inch.
Hmm.
Fresno's about 10 inches from Los Angeles. That's 210 miles. Got a long ways to go yet.
Sam, I don't know what you're going to do with that, Matt, but I got to go home. If Millie finds out I've been spending my evenings over here in your garage fooling around with this steamer of yours, she'll skin me alive.
Albert, let me tell you something. You got nothing to worry about.
Oh, I got nothing to worry about with Millie?
You got nothing to worry about with Millie. When she finds out why you've been spending your evenings over here...
When she finds out?
When she finds out why you've been helping me with the steamer, she'll be so impressed she won't do anything but applaud.
Sam, I got to go home.
All right, Albert, you go on home. You go home and get a good night's sleep, and tomorrow morning I'll let you in on a little surprise.
Sam, you've forgotten that tomorrow's Memorial Day or the race is on.
I know the race is on, Albert. I know that you and I always listen to the Indianapolis race on the radio, and tomorrow we listen to the start just like we always have. Only it'll be different.
Different?
That's right, Albert, different. That's the surprise I'm talking about. Now, you be here at 8:30 sharp.
8:30? The radio doesn't even come on from the track until 9:15.
You'll be here at 8:30 sharp, Albert.
Well, I don't know why I've got to get here so early.
Albert.
All right, Sam. If you say so, I'll be here.
Ah, that's the way to talk, Albert. Now, you go on home to Millie and leave me here with my maps, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, good night, Sam. Good
night, Albert. And don't be late, because tomorrow, Albert, is the big day.
Fair with sunny skies and warm, clear evenings. Stay tuned to this station for the started running of the great Memorial Day Speed Classic.
But where on earth is your pop, Junior?
I don't know, Mom.
Well, I guess this is one day I don't have to worry about where he is. He and Elbert haven't missed the start of the Annapolis race for 15 years.
That's Indianapolis, Mom. Annapolis is the Naval Academy.
You know, I never can remember which is which. I tried last year to remember that the Indians were the ones at the racetrack and the sailors at the other place, but it didn't work.
Yeah, I remember. You called it the Indian race from Annapolis.
Yes, your pop almost exploded.
Like that tin can of his in the garage.
Don't you ever let your father hear you call that car of his a tin can. It's a Stanley steamer, and you know that as well as I do.
It's a tin can, if you ask me. And I could beat it in low gear in my old jalopy. Pop would ever take it out on the road.
We take you now to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in Indianapolis, Indiana, for the start of the great Memorial Day Speed Classic, the Indianapolis 500-mile race.
Hello there, race fans. This is Sam Pierce, speaking directly from the pagoda, overlooking the starting line here at Indianapolis. And it's a beautiful day for a race. There are a few black clouds over
Junior,
the east,
you better call your
here,
pop. He'll explode if he misses the start.
Like a tin can.
Junior?
Open the doors, Albert. Open the doors and stand back.
You're going to take her out, Sam?
Just open the doors and see.
Okay, Sam. They're open, Sam.
Okay. Now stand back, Albert. There she goes.
She's moving, Sam. I know.
I'll bring that portable radio and follow me out to the street and I'll stop her there.
Okay, Sam. You did it, Sam. You took her out.
Of course I did, Albert. Now hand me that radio.
Yeah, here you are.
I'll tune her up and see if they've got the track yet.
On the track, running their warm-up lap. The race car is leaving the pits now, and in a very short time, the race will be underway.
They're just about ready to go, Albert.
Yeah, we better get into the house or we'll miss the start.
Albert, we're not going to listen to the start in the house. Huh? We're going to listen to the start right here on this portal.
Well, we can hear it better in the house, Sam.
Albert, get up here on the seat with me.
Me? Up there on that seat in that thing?
That's right, Albert. Get here on the seat with me.
I wouldn't drive around the block in that thing, Sam, and you know it.
Albert, you're going with me.
I am not going with you.
You're going with me, or I'll tell Billy that you weren't at the church last night or the night before that. Now get up here on the seat and turn up the radio so we can hear the start.
I don't like this, Sam.
Yeah, you will, Albert. You're going to share an historic event with me. You're going to be with me and my Stanley steamer when the starter at the track drops the starting flag in front of those racers back in Indianapolis. And when that flag drops, Albert, we're going to open the throttle and start with them.
Sam Porter, are you crazy?
And while they're driving around and around for 500 miles, you and I and the steamer will be going up Highway 99 to the town of Gridley.
Sam!
And Gridley, California, is exactly 500 miles from where we are right now.
You're going to race this thing 500 miles to Gridley?
We're going to race against those cars back at Indianapolis. And we're going to win, Albert. We're going to get to Gridley before they get to the finish line.
Sam Porter, you're crazy. Sitting up on this steaming monster talking like a crazy man.
Turn up the radio, Albert.
And here they come down the straightaway in front of the main grandstands, ladies and gentlemen, and they're off. The Indianapolis.
Hang on and pump, Elbert. Hang on and pump.
Is underway.
We're off to Grizzly.
In a moment, we continue with Suspense. Do you know the Social Security benefits to which you will be entitled when you separate from the service and take a civilian job? Here's a tip from Social Security.
There are four times for action. First, when you go on a job covered by Social Security, you need a Social Security card. The account number shown on the card is used to keep a record of your earnings. Second, if a worker in your family dies and his work was covered by Social Security, some member of the family should ask about survivor's benefits at the nearest Social Security office. Third, if you are disabled before you reach 65 and have worked under Social Security, get in touch with the Social Security office. You and your dependents may be eligible for monthly checks. And finally, 2 or 3 months before you reach retirement age, get in touch with the Social Security office. If you want to keep working, fine. But get the facts about Social Security anyway. You may still be able to get benefit payments.
And now, we continue with The Big Day, starring Mr. John McIntyre. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
We're in the 10th lap of the race, ladies and gentlemen, and now here are the standings. In first place, car number 31, Johnny Gillen. In second, in car number 26, George O'Hara.
How fast are we going, Elbert?
I can't see the speedometer, Sam. Too much steam.
Well, wipe off your goggles and bend down closer. I want to know how fast we're going.
Troy Rutman. In sixth,
I think the speedometer is busted, Sam. It says 95.
It's not busted, Elbert. We're probably going 95. Now get on that pump, Elbert, and let's see if we can't get up a real head of steam.
So far, it's been a wonderful race, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing to mar the thrill of watching these cars.
I can't understand. 15 years, he never misses a start, and now, all of a sudden, he disappears.
I called him, Mom, but he didn't answer.
Well, maybe he didn't hear you. Go on out the garage and get him.
Okay, Mom.
And if all goes well...
We interrupt the Indianapolis race for a moment to bring you a special announcement from the California Highway Patrol.
This is Officer Hansen of the Highway Patrol speaking. We have just received a report that an unidentified object has been seen traveling north on Highway 99 at very high speed. We have no description other than the following. The object is bright red and seems to be emitting clouds of some vapor, perhaps steam.
Oh, no.
It was last seen heading north on Highway 99 in the vicinity of Caswell and was traveling at great speed.
Oh.
A sheriff's car that gave chase lost it and called in this report. Motorists are warned to be on the lookout and to give this object the right-of-way if they see it.
Wilbur.
All police and sheriff's cars are on the alert, and we'll bring you further reports as we receive them.
Oh, dear me, no.
Now to the Indianapolis.
Junior!
Speedway.
Junior!
Pop's not in the garage, Mom, and you know what?
I'm afraid I do, son.
The steamer isn't there either.
Junior, I know where your father is. He's out on the highway in that...
Tin can?
Tin can, and he's trying to kill himself. Get me the phone, Junior. I've got to let them know.
Police Department, Sergeant Walsh speaking. Yes? Yes? Now, wait a minute. Let me get this straight here. You say you know what the bright red object is. Now, what bright red object? The one that's out on Highway 99. The one that's going so fast. Oh, that one. Well, why didn't you say so? Now, hold on a minute. I want to get this down. Charlie, get the radio open and stand by for an all-points bulletin. There's a lady on the phone says she knows what that crazy thing is on 99. Okay, lady, now you tell me just what it is. That's right. A what? A Stanley steamer?
Where are we now, Elbert?
I think we're coming up to Bakersfield. It's hard to follow the map with the steam and the wind.
Bakersfield, that's over 100 miles from L.A. Turn up the radio, Elbert. We'll see how far they've gone at Indianapolis.
And these cars are performing like the beautiful things they are.
Ha!
So far, we haven't lost a car, and we've completed a little over 100 laps, 250 miles.
Somebody's crazy.
Well, it isn't him, Sam.
Now, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, at the halfway mark, we always give the standings of the cars and their drivers. So now let's just take it. Wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. The yellow warning lights are on, and that means we've got a car in trouble somewhere. I can't see too well, but I think it's... Yes, there it is. Down at the far end of the grandstand straightaway, there's a car against the retaining wall.
It's a wreck, Sam.
Shut up and pump.
Yeah, I can see the driver, ladies and gentlemen. He's out of the car now, and he's waving that he's all right. He's okay, ladies and gentlemen, but that car is in a bad place there. He'll have to keep this race running under the caution flag until they can clear it away. Of course, that means the cars will have to slow way down, and this will reduce the race average, but, well, that's the break to the game.
No, come on, Albert. So. That's a break
that's
for us.
That's good news.
Pump up some more steam there, and we'll make up some time on it.
Sam, this has gone far enough. Now, you got through that last town all right, although I think you scared them all half to death. But this next town is Merced, and it's a big one. Now, they've got signals set for 30 miles an hour right through the main street. You can't go through Merced at 95 miles an hour.
I figured on those signals, Albert. We won't go through town at 95.
Well, thank goodness for that.
Signal set for 30. 3 times 30 is 90. We'll go through town at 90. Click of the whistle.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Now get on that pump, Albert, and pump. We can't afford to lose any steam pressure at this point. We've got an average to hold.
This is a special bulletin from the State Highway Patrol. The unidentified object that has been reported at various positions from Los Angeles all the way north to Merced has been identified as a bright red Stanley steamer. Police in Fresno were alerted when a roadblock they set up was bypassed unexpectedly. However, the California Highway Patrol are now setting an impassable block on Highway 99 south of Stockton, and it's expected that the fugitives will be apprehended any minute. Meanwhile, motorists using this stretch of road are urged to proceed with caution. This has been a special bulletin.
She's really rolling now that we got that fresh tank of water.
She is that, Sam.
It took us a little out of our way, taking that alternate road up into the hills back of Stockton. But I figured we'd find a water tank back there easier than in the city.
And that farmer was real nice, too. You going back into Stockton now, Sam?
Nope. Figured a way on the map while we were stopped up there that takes us right around her. Figured it won't take much longer, and we can miss the traffic in the city.
You're pretty smart, Sam.
Yeah, you gotta be smart to race a steamer, Albert. Turn up the radio, see how they're doing at Indianapolis.
Batteries are getting awful weak, but I'll try.
And now that the yellow lights are off, the cars are picking up their speed, and the race is really a race again. You know, this is the longest period of time that the cars have ever had to run under the caution lights, due, of course, to the unfortunate fact that a second car ran into the truck that was clearing the wreckage of the first car, and it's taken them a long, long time to get the remains off the track. But no one was hurt, so we're off again at Indianapolis.
Turn it off, Albert. We have to save the batteries.
There's not much left in them now.
You know something, Albert?
What?
I'm kind of glad those races are running on the green flag again. I didn't feel right having the advantage over them all that time.
Sam, you're crazy. You are plain crazy. But you know, I'm beginning to like this.
This is the State Highway Patrol speaking. We have a new report on the runaway Stanley steamer. For a while, it was thought to have mysteriously disappeared when officers waiting at a roadblock at Stockton reported it failed to show up. But just a short time ago, it was again reported on Highway 99 on the outskirts of Sacramento heading north. A block has been hastily erected at the town of Woodland, which is the next town along the route of the steamer. We'll have a further report as soon as we hear from the Woodland police.
How come you cut off 99 onto alternate 40, Sam?
Because alternate 40 goes to Gridley and 99 doesn't.
You really mapped this thing out, huh?
Albert, I've heard a lot of derogatory things said about myself from this wonderful steamer of mine. But it's never bothered me. You know why?
Because you're smart, Sam?
Because I knew that one of these days a big day would come along and I'd make all those people who said all those things laugh out of the other corner of their mouths. You know what, Albert?
What, Sam?
That day is here. When we get into Gridley, I'll have proven that what I always said was true.
Turn up the radio. See how far they've gotten back in Indianapolis.
Okay. Yeah, it won't turn on. Leastwise, I can't get any noise out of it.
Yeah, batteries must have gone. Doggone it. Now we won't know how we made out till we get into Gridley.
How much longer you figure it'll take us, Sam? I'm getting awful tired.
Not too long now, Albert. Maybe 20 minutes, half an hour. Won't get there at all, though.
I know, Sam. Hang on and pop. She seems to be slowing down, Sam.
I am slowing her down, Albert. If I'm not mistaken, we should be getting into Gridley right over the top of this hill.
You mean it, Sam? You mean we're really there? We made it?
I think so, Albert. We'll know in a minute. Sure wish the radio was working so we could know how we did.
Well, there'll be somebody in Gridley with a radio. We can ask them.
Yeah. Hey, Albert, look there. Right down there at the foot of the hill.
It's a town, all right, Sam.
It's Gridley, Albert. Gridley in the finish line for us.
Hey, looks like they're having a celebration or something.
All the cars, all right.
Maybe they've heard about it.
Most likely a picnic or a parade.
Are you going to cross the finish line like they do back at Indianapolis?
Albert, that's a great idea. We'll give them something to talk about for a long time to come. Uh-huh. Get a hold of that pump, Albert.
And pump. I know, Sam. I know. Look, they're getting out of the cars into the street.
There's something funny, Albert. We've got cars parked there across the street.
And they're holding up their hands.
Well, I guess there's nothing to do but stop. Don't want to bust up my steamer after she run all this way.
Anyway, we got to Gridley.
All right.
All right, you two. Now just stay where you are. Don't make no fast moves.
Sam, this cop doesn't sound very friendly.
That gun he's waving doesn't look very friendly either.
I want you both to get down out of
Steamer, Stanley Steamer.
Well, that thing. And just stand over there quiet.
Better do as he says, Albert.
Yeah. Come on.
Albert.
Yes, Sam?
I can't get my hands loose to the steering wheel. They're stuck.
His hands are stuck to the wheel, officer.
Well, get him unstuck and climb down out of there. You're both under arrest.
For what?
If I took the time to tell you now, we'd be here all night. Now get down.
Oh, I almost forgot to ask. Sir, is this Gridley?
No, this is not Gridley. This is Live Oaks. Oh. Gridley's about 10 miles further up the road.
Oh, no, Albert, we lost. We came all this way so far, so fast, and we still didn't complete the 500 miles.
Gosh.
Say, you got a radio in your car, officer?
Of course I got a radio.
Can you get the station they have the Indianapolis races on? See how they finished?
They didn't.
They what?
Them racers back at Indianapolis, they didn't finish. They stopped the race 5 minutes ago. Supposed to drive 500 miles, but they got rained out. They had to stop at 475.
Albert, you hear that, yeah. Albert? We beat them. We went 490 miles and they stopped at 475. Oh. I told you the Stanley Steamer was the fastest car on four wheels.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. If you don't mind, I'll ask you to get into my car and we'll take a slower ride back to police headquarters.
Oh, sure, officer. And you know something, Sam?
What, Albert?
At least in his car, I won't have to hang on and palm.
Suspense. In which Mr. John McIntyre starred in The Big Day, written by Sam Pierce and produced and directed by William N. Robeson. Supporting Mr. McIntyre in The Big Day were Jeanette Nolan, Joe DeSantis, William Keneally, Henry Blair, Sam Pierce, and Dawes Butler. Listen. Listen again next week when we return with another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Suspense has been brought to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
The Big Day, Episode 700 of Suspense, from May 26, 1957 on CBS. It's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch, our email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And you can find much more info about the Radio Theater by visiting our blog and website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. If you want the playlist or audio for this episode, look for Upstate Radio Theater show number 1714. We'll remain with CBS Radio and we'll remain in the mid-1950s for our final offering of the hour, as we have an episode of Night Watch. Night Watch was a pioneering radio series in many respects, and it would be the forerunner to several successful television series that would come decades later, probably the best known of which would be Cops. That is, Night Watch presented actual, on-the-scene police investigations as they happened, without any actors or pre-planned scripts. Unfortunately, it was a short-lived series. It ran from about January of 1954 through March of 1955 on CBS. This is program number 27 in the series. It originally aired on October 28th of 1954. And the titles are based on some of the events which occurred during the investigation that was taped. So this particular program is titled Mississippi Psycho 288. It's an episode of Night Watch, concluding this Upstate Radio Theater.
Five, six in service, starting mileage 9458, 9458.
Control 1 to 5 6, in service, mileage 9458, 9458. 5-6, 1019, the watch commander is in his office now, 6:10 p.m., unit 5-6 in service on the night watch.
Well, we almost made it to the corner. What was that all about?
I've been waiting to see the lieutenant, Don. He's got some information on a narcotics investigation for us.
Oh, by the way, this is Don Reed, a police recorder. At the moment, you're riding in Detective Unit 5-6. That was Sergeant Ron Perkins contacting Control 1 by radio. Now, while you're with us tonight, remember the people you meet are not actors. This is it. This is real. This is Night Watch.
Night Watch, the actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors, there is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch, presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. And now we switch you to Detective Unit 5-6, already on assignment in the field, and to police recorder Don Reed.
Into the station.
I'm going to check with the captain.
The keeper. Let's see what's tricking up the booking desk.
This is your first time in Culver City
jail, yeah? Would you give me a cigarette?
How long were you incarcerated the first time?
What do you mean, incarcerated?
What happened? My subject being booked for plain drunk.
Will you give me a cigarette? Please, I'm Mississippi. Give me a cigarette, will you do that? Are you a man or are you a mouse? Will you give me a cigarette?
Wearing a raccoon hat with a tail hanging over his eyes. Sort of a miniature Daniel Boone.
When you sober up a little bit, we'll allow you to make a phone call. You're in no condition to be phoning or talking to anyone.
Okay. I'll sprain myself tomorrow. May I have a cigarette?
If you have them, smoke them.
Well, I had some in the car. Would you give me one, please? I'll do some for you tomorrow.
Smoke it now. When you go into the jail, you can't take it
with you. Okay, I want to smoke it now. I hit my own mother, didn't I?
Okay, Captain. Don?
Yeah.
He's gonna regret this. What time can I talk to my sister? I'm all wild.
What's that fella raising all the fuss about? He wants to make a phone call.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing except the party he wants to talk to is in Mississippi.
What's the deal with the captain?
Well, we got a fellow here in the interrogation room.
claims he knows where some narcotics are being sold. One of the uniformed cars picked him up a few minutes ago, hiding in the back of a store. He's been held now on suspicion of burglary. Mm. You remember him. He's the one that always wore a striped coat with a sailor hat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we booked him for disturbing the peace just recently, I remember.
Hi, I'm Sergeant Perkins. Sorry, sit still.
Why don't you are tell
they,
me now?
What? Are they gentlemen?
They're gentlemen. Every one of them.
I have a reason to believe, Mr. Perkins, that somebody is using drugs.
Whereabouts are they using them?
Right at my house.
At your house? What makes you think they're using narcotics at your house? Excuse me.
You'll find out.
Just a minute. Perkins. Yeah. Yeah, can we call you back in a little bit? Okay. What makes you think that they're using them down there?
You know, I've been out in China. I know all of them. I'm an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. But drugs I never used. I'm sure those boys is using drugs.
Are they down at your house now?
Haven't you found out?
No, I haven't. That's why I'm asking you.
Who's this gentleman over here?
That's Don Reed.
God, I'm awful drunk, but Mr. Perkins, can't you help me?
Yes, I'm trying to help you. I want some information, though.
You got it.
Because all I've got is that you think there's some narcotics down at your house.
Not at my house.
And not at your house?
No.
Whereabouts?
There's something you must know, Mr.
Perkins. Tell me, tell me. That's what I'm sitting here for. I'm waiting to listen to it.
Would you drive me down the corner and I'll show you?
What are you going to show me?
Well, you got to pick up this boy, Mr. Perkins. You gotta be...
What are you gonna pick him up for? Narcotics?
Well, you find out.
I'm not going down just pick up any person on the street or in somebody's house unless I have reason to believe that they've committed a crime.
I know that there's something wrong there, Mr. Perkins.
Well, what? Where is the house? What's the boy's name? What's the location? We'll look into it.
I'll take you there. You know who I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
Mr. Perkins, this is something you should know about.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm asking you these questions. You keep telling me it's something that I should find out about. Well, tell me. What is it?
Something about... I'm sure, Mr. Perkins, I'm sure that these boys is using drugs.
Can you point the house out to me?
Yeah.
I take
just
you out
get
there?
In the car. Yeah. Look, you need... This boy you need to get a hold of. You know I'm an alcoholic, don't you? And I never used drugs in my life or anything like that. But I'm sure, I'm almost sure that there's something wrong there.
Can you point the house out to me?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, let's go. You want to?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Perkins.
En route to the location where the suspect claims he can point out the house where narcotics are being pushed. This is a new part of town. I'm not too familiar with it. Now, whether the suspect is taking us for a joyride or not, it's hard to tell. But you can't take anything for granted in this business.
What makes you think this boy is using narcotics?
Mr. Perkins? If I'm wrong... You come and tell me. I'm sure that there's something... I'm sure. Am I absolutely sure?
What makes you so sure? Their actions?
Yes, of course.
What do they do that's so unusual? How do they act?
Unusual.
You can't just go around accusing a person using narcotics unless you've got a good reason for it. Get yourself into trouble doing that. We appreciate information, but we want the right information.
You got it.
I don't know that we have or not. You haven't told me anything yet, except that a boy uses narcotics.
Well, you better find out, Mr. Perkins. Turn right, Mr. Perkins. Right. You only have to...
pull up in back of this car.
Right here?
That's right.
Okay. Now what? Which is the place?
Right there.
This place right here with the picket fence?
Just a minute. Who's going to get this boy?
Nobody's going to get him until we know what it's all about.
Checking the building the suspect is pointing out. It's pitch dark and covered by trees. I can't see anything from here.
Get him. No, you're not going to get him.
That's the place.
Okay, let's go back to the station.
Why?
Present time, you're under arrest. You know that. You're a prisoner.
Okay.
Guiding the suspect into the station. Turning him over now to the desk sergeant.
Sit on that. One in the other room. Take you over that port from there and sit down there.
George, you want to put this fellow on the detention room pending further investigation?
Right, okay. You want to come with me?
You think we got a metal case here, Sergeant?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Let's go over to his house and talk to his wife. Hear her side of the story.
Okay. We're sitting in the kitchen of the suspect's home. This is an average American place. Very comfortable, but small. And the suspect's wife is just finishing up the dishes. And now is putting them aside and is coming over to sit down now and discuss the case with Sergeant Perkins.
I picked up your husband, and he'd been drinking pretty heavily. In fact, I took a bottle away from him.
Mm-hmm.
He has quite a story he's been telling us about narcotics.
Yes.
Do you know anything about that? We're trying to get something out of it.
It is simply terrible that any father would sort of start a story like that. This is not true in the past. In drinking, for instance, he usually said that his wife was in the hospital, very sick, and he was so worried about her. That was not true.
Mm-hmm.
His brother had broken his leg, was in the hospital. The brother never heard of such a thing. All that is not true. And so I think that he wants to talk. He likes to have people pay attention to him. He wants to talk, and he'll say almost anything just to get attention.
How long have you been married?
25 years.
25 years.
I got a divorce 2 days before Christmas. I think that he definitely needs mental care, and he spent 30 years in the Navy, and during that time he was in the mental ward several times. His Navy record would show that anything that I have to say like that is true. And I've tried for years to have him voluntarily go and commit himself.
We're a little bit worried about his condition, and especially in the past history we've had with him here.
What type of condition? Do you mean the drinking or his physical?
Well, the combination of the drinking, possibly the mental.
I don't see how it could help but have some effect upon
right.
a person's mentality.
We're afraid that he just might do something dangerous out here and be a menace to society. And if we do it, it's going to be necessary to book him through with the charges here, whereas if we can get you to do it, or if they'll accept you, I will assist you in it, and it'll save putting that on his record.
Something has to be done. It has to be done.
Well, if that's what you want us to do, well, we'll go ahead and do it.
That is what I want you to do.
And as far as any narcotics or any of these boys that he's talking about, do you feel that...
I'm positive that it's a sad thing that a father should say such a thing. I feel that a mother or father should protect their child and not go spreading something like that around the neighborhood. Every neighborhood we've ever lived in, I've gone through this humiliation of his foolish talking and drunkenness.
Okay, now he
will be taken down to the county hospital, and Monday morning I'll call and make a... See if...
Right. Mm-hmm. If you will, please.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
If you do, look into that.
We'll check it out. We have to check it out. Yes. Let's get back to our car. Sure rough on her, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hello?
5-6-1, clear on our code 6. And will you notify the Detective Bureau that there's nothing on this narcotics deal? Suspect's a mental case. Will you make arrangements to transport him to L.A. Psycho Ward for treatment?
Control 1-5-6, clear. Will do.
You know, Pert, one part of this deal I don't get.
What's that?
How come we didn't check out that home where narcotics were supposed to be pushed?
There's a good reason. You know the building that he pointed out?
Yeah.
That's the public library.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of Detective Unit 5-6 on its tour of duty. Remember, the people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. We'll bring you the final results of tonight's action at the conclusion of Night Watch. And now we switch you back to Detective Unit 5-6, somewhere in the field, and police recorder Don Reed.
Control 1 to all units in the vicinity, and cars 5-3 and 5-4 at 2205 Overhill. 2205 Overhill. Possible mental case throwing bottles in the bar. Code 2.
5-6-1, we're right on top of this. Will you advise the other units? We'll come in from the rear and cover the back.
Control 1-5-6-10-4.
Well, not more than 10 minutes ago, we answered a call of a possible mental case breaking up a bar just down the street from this address. However, he was GOA, gone on arrival. We talked to several witnesses, and apparently the suspect was under the influence of narcotics. Now, whether our present call is the same one, of course, remains to be seen. Things are almost too similar to be a coincidence. Matter of another block or so, and we'll flip around a corner, head up the alley to the rear. Matter of fact, the bar's over just over to our left-hand side. Just a second now, we'll find this alley. We're going to flip in here. Hold on. Down the alley. Boy, I've seen smoother roads in my day. With the red light of the uniform car already in the parking lot, it's pitch dark. In the headlights, the suspect here, he is swinging punches. One officer's down. There's quite a struggle going on. Let's get over there. He's a big fellow, well over 6 feet, strong.
Thank God! 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 Thank God!
He says he ain't going. That's a matter of opinion. Perkins getting into the hassle. It's a wrestling match to get the cuffs on.
No.
They'll have to cinch up tight to control him, otherwise somebody's going to get hurt.
He's got emotional problems.
Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. No, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.
Down. Trying to get the suspect into our car.
Thank God.
One of the victims over here. Blood trickling from an eye wound.
What's he been doing?
He's all hopped up, and I was down there at the bar helping this woman bartend. I've been drinking, yes. But,
You been blasting?
Yeah, he's been blasting everything. Start throwing beer bottles out the door and start throwing them through the windows. And I stopped him from throwing through the windows and everything. And I came down here to try to get me in the car. And after that...
Where's his car?
Huh? He ain't in no car right now.
Are you going to get your car or what?
No, I'm in his truck right over here.
In your truck?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Stand by a minute.
Okay.
Officer Chuck Sarlo over here. Looks like he's been in the dust storm.
Let's get him in and strip him down completely. Let's find out for once. Let's get this guy behind bars where he belongs.
Okay.
because Miss Cranston, he's been blasting marijuana. We've been looking for him for a long time. So we get him in there, we'll take him back in, strip him down.
He's under something. Wild.
We'll follow you right back in. Right on. We'll do that.
Let's move back to our car. Shoes being removed. Prevent injury in case of kicking. We'll ride up front.
It's killing me. Honest, it's killing me. This one and this right hand. Honest,
I'm like... Handcuffs are tight. Keep his mind on that instead of kicking the police car apart.
I can't. It's cutting off my circulation, honest.
Well, you have to calm down until you get to the station. You know how it is.
Will you let him loose a little bit, please, officer, please.
Long, slender hands.
Please, look at
any looser need slip out of them. Studying the suspect's face, strong indication, use of marijuana, no eye reaction, pupils pinpointed, irrational, repetitious.
Please, come on.
What happened?
Constantly repeating himself.
No. Please, get this off, will you? Please. You just get a key and No, please. Look at this.
Let me look.
It's too tight.
You're not too tight.
Is it? Oh, it is!
Starlo, ride in back. Guard the prisoner. Let's get to the station.
Do you remember me? Hey, do you remember me?
You know, I don't give you bad time, so move over. Come on.
When did you get out?
I know, man. You swear. Right? Okay. So we're buddies, aren't we? Now, just move over. I'm not going to give you bad time.
Yeah?
What are you doing? Blasting me?
Blasty, snasty. What do you mean? Blasty, snasty. Yes, blasty, snasty. When did you get out of life?
One of you guys tapped out over there.
Oh, get your hands off me! When did you get out of life? Get your hands off me!
When's the last time you got on our farm?
Yeah, get your hands off me! And I got her. You hear me?
And I got her.
Let's see if I can loosen your cuffs
up a little. Face over that way, back
up. What'd I do wrong tonight? What am I doing right now? What am I doing, huh? What am I on?
You were 214, strings of peace, and...
Disturbing the peace.
Couple of more blocks to the station.
You know what you are? You're a parasite. You're a political parasite. Yeah, man. Laugh. Political parasite.
What does that mean?
You know what a parasite is?
No.
Well, you know when a shark is in the ocean?
Yeah.
There's always a couple of parasites stuck onto him. The shark's a killer. You follow behind.
Apparently he thinks the shark. We're parasites.
Political. Well, if you would get
Let's get out this way.
I can't get out. I know where you're going to drag me out. That's all, because this stuff's too tight.
Well, we don't want to have to drag it into you. Let's go.
Open the door!
Well, here's the door. It's open on this side.
I ain't going to do it. No.
Hey, get out of the car on the other side. Come on.
Okay.
6 feet of handcuffs, uncoiling stubbornly.
I'm barefooted.
We'll get you juice, though.
He's coming to the detention cell, Chuck. We'll shake him down good in there.
I ain't gonna do nothing.
Go through his clothing now. See if we can find enough evidence to book him on a marijuana charge.
What's his name from here? Working.
Checking his arms for needle marks.
Take your pants off.
Suspect shaking his head. Tears down his face. But he's still taking his pants off.
And his shirt, too.
Don, come over a second, will you?
Yeah.
Hold this flashlight for me.
Okay.
And then his pants. Let's try his shirt. Where?
Not yet. If we could only find one marijuana seed.
Nothing in his shirt either.
Not gonna do it.
Apparently he's not gonna do something.
Blasting that?
Blasting? What do you think I am? Ha ha ha, boy?
I don't know. I asked you a question, you haven't answered it.
Well, ask that guy.
You haven't answered my question yet.
Smoking. You think the only thing in the whole world is smoking?
Somebody says
schmat.
Where'd you buy the stuff you smoked tonight?
I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, well, we're happy to oblige. Chuck, take him over at the window and book him disorderly conduct and disturbing the peace. Come on, Don, let's go.
Helper? He's sure been blasting marijuana. That guy's hiring a kite.
Yeah, but you know it, and I know it. A witness knows it. That doesn't prove it in the court.
What you have just heard is real. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. For their disposition, we return you to Police Headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
Tonight's tour of duty on the night watch is a good example of the diversified problems encountered in police work. In the case of the suspect suffering delusions and claiming knowledge of narcotics, it was his wife's desire he be committed to a mental institution for treatment of alcoholism. My department concurred in this opinion and assisted in obtaining the placement. In the final case of the suspect breaking up a bar, as you noted, there was considerable suspicion that he was under the influence of marijuana. However, he was booked for disorderly conduct and disturbing the peace. Some people may voice the question, why wasn't the suspect booked for suspicion of the use of narcotics? The answer is one of the big problems in police work today. What you suspect and what you can prove are two different things. This very principle is the cornerstone of our American way of life. Regardless of the suspicious circumstances, a case must be backed up with physical evidence and proved beyond reasonable doubt in a court of law. There are countries who don't agree with this procedure, but it's our way, the American way. To help you appreciate and understand this is the reason for Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have been following the on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Headlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins.
Night Watch, from October 28, 1954, on CBS Radio. And with that, we come to the end of this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. Please join me again when you can for another hour of sounds from radio's golden age. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.